We're back on the Red, White, and Brown Report podcast in less than 48 hours of recording the previous episode. And we're here talking about yet another Arsenal victory. The Gunners beat West Ham 3-0 at the Emirates yesterday with goals from Arsenal's Messi, Aaron Ramsey, Olivier Giroud, and Matthew Flamini. Overall, it was a good fixture, very comfortable in the end. Three goals by three different players. Arsenal have now had 21 goal scorers. And to talk about all this, we have on the episode Aman Jain. How has life been in the last 2 days? It's been a while since we've spoken.
Yeah, you're clearly excited because I think it's more than 48 hours, but yeah.
How's life in London otherwise?
Yeah, good. I mean, it's kind of getting a bit, it was getting a bit brighter, but again, it's getting, this week is forecast a lot of rain. So you just get used to living in London, I guess.
We haven't had rain in California for a very long time. I mean, we sure there are a few spells of, you know, 4 or 5 hour rains, but now
what you're missing, and you don't know what you're missing.
Well, we're missing water at this point because apparently California has reserves for just one more year. But I was just reading online that there was this huge major outcry over how people waste water and how you're supposed to conserve water in the bathroom. There was this quote: if it's yellow, you let it mellow. If it's brown, then you flush it down. So I've been following that for the last 2 days, and let's see. It does not, and to my surprise, it actually does not stink up the bathroom as much, and I'm still saving water. So, anyway, getting back to football and how Arsenal's been performing, this was actually one of the most fluid, confident performances by the team.
Yeah, it was great. I think what is kind of heartening now is that Wenger has kind of two formations to play, he kind of shuttles around them. If he wants to go attacking, he usually goes in with a 4-2-3-1, and if he wants to hold up the other team or kind of crowd out the midfield, then he goes with a 4-1-4-1. So, and we obviously are more fluid with a 4-2-3-1 as we saw. But I think critically was the fact that Ramsey was back. I think he was a big factor in our fluidity.
A fit Ramsey was back.
Yes, and God thankful for that. Because he just brings a different element to our game completely. His understanding with Ozil, his understanding with Giroud is just amazing. And I'm sure he's going to get a lot more goals for the rest of the season if three of them keep playing the game.
I was reading the statistic recently which said Ramsey's and Olivier Giroud's, they call it the creativity index, it's up by 40% when both play on the team. And that's really striking because yesterday we saw such great link-up play from Ozil, Giroud, and Ramsey. All of them playing in that triangle up front. I hate using the word triangle because it sounds very cliched, but it was really amazing. Giroud was in great form. He was trying to make those one-touch flicks onto the runners right behind him, like Theo Walcott, especially Aaron Ramsey yesterday. And it worked out. The first goal, absolutely brilliant. It also helped that, you know, West Ham were playing with Kouyaté in the defense instead of midfield. But those one-touch passes clearly seemed to have got them off guard. The first goal, which was the move was started by Ozil, passed on to Ramsey. Then Ramsey had a quick one-touch, passed it back to Ozil, then back to Ramsey. Then there was a 1-2 play between Ramsey and Giroud, and then that wondrous left-foot striker from Giroud that hit the post and went in. It was a long time coming because Arsenal had a few chances, especially with Theo Walcott. But we ended the first half going up 1-0.
Yeah, what actually, and there has been a kind of a GIF or a Vine going around Twitter world about the first goal. What is quite interesting is that actually that move started off with Mertesacker passing the ball to Ramsey. And while Mertesacker was coming towards the goal with the ball, Ozil was kind of directing him to pass it to Ramsey so that then Ramsey can pass it to him. And I think that's where Ozil's real value comes to the picture because he just sees beyond the immediate move. And that pass from Mertesacker to Ramsey was really, it started the move off. And then, of course, the finish from Giroud was just brilliant. That was one of the best finishes I've seen.
And also this kind of play, when it clicks really well. When it doesn't work, even if one player in that midfield is maybe off position or not reading those one-touch passes and crosses, that's when it gets really frustrating. But it worked against West Ham beautifully.
That, and I think equally, this thing usually works when Ramsey is playing, because Ramsey is the only guy who actually makes those runs beyond the striker. I mean, Cazorla, for all that he does, and he's brilliant at doing that, but he doesn't necessarily go beyond Giroud when he plays with Coquelin. And Coquelin is obviously more defensive-minded. Similarly, I didn't see Wilshere when he played for whatever duration necessarily making those runs. Wilshere, again, better running with the ball. And I think that's where Ramsey's value really comes through, because he just adds that completely different element to our game.
So you think Ramsey is going to start in front of Cazorla for the game against Monaco?
I don't know in front of Cazorla or not, but I think he's going to start. And I'm not sure what formation, or I mean, I don't know what is going to be our starting 11.
Well, we have to have Coquelin in the team because we can't afford to concede any
exactly.
goals.
Exactly. So I think it will be one of them. I don't know who he will choose to drop between Sanchez, Cazorla, Ozil.
Well, he clearly can't drop Ozil, Ramsey or Giroud from the team, especially after today's performance.
So that I've said, I mean, yeah, Ozil, he should, I guess easiest will be drop, and obvious candidate will be to drop Theo Walcott. Yeah, I mean, on that's an easy decision. But then whether Welbeck starts or Sanchez starts, it is up there. I don't know who's necessary. Because yesterday, at least, once Welbeck came on, we seemed to control the game far better than we did while Sanchez was playing.
I agree. But it'll be really tough to drop Sanchez just because of his work rate. Maybe Theo might give way to Welbeck so that Welbeck plays on the right. But Theo isn't this very...
Then I'm saying, so there has to be someone who has to go out between Sanchez and Cazorla. One of them will have to go out if Welbeck starts.
I actually think it'll be Sanchez, but we'll wait and speculate. So the first goal came right before the end of the first half. Theo Walcott missed a couple of good chances, but what did you think about his performance? Especially given what's going on off the field and Wenger's cheeky comment.
And his whole statement was pretty interesting. I've never heard him say. He said that we have communicated with the embassy. now it is there for the politicians to decide or something like that. And then he said the player is usually very quick on the field, but off the field he's not as quick. And I think it's going back to what he said when Theo signed his last contract, wherein Theo took forever to sign it. And obviously he had Arsenal by their balls, so they really couldn't do much about it. But I think this time Arsenal is playing, they're playing harder. They're saying that if you sign, then you'd be on our terms, which is, I think, a fair play, because Theo is no longer that important to us anymore with other players coming in like Alexis and Welbeck who give us enough pace.
No, but you cannot drop players that have served this club for the last 8-10 years. Anyway.
But the question is that it's not about dropping them. It's that they have to buckle in and follow the team. You can't play a prima donna kind of a thing that it should be at your terms.
So Theo Walcott's getting paid £110,000 a week. And I think he's trying to negotiate a contract so that he gets paid more, especially knowing that now this is his last chance before he gets the final bumper contract. He's already, how old is he, 25, 26?
So yeah, this will be his... probably the biggest contract, at least, because if it's a 3-year contract, then it's almost 28 by the time he finishes this contract. And typically strikers don't go beyond 30. So he has to kind of take into consideration. So I see it happening. I don't see Theo signing it really, but hopefully he will.
Yeah. Well, so going back to the game, Arsenal kind of started a little slow in the second half with the second goal not coming until the 81st minute. Also, West Ham had a couple of good chances with Diafra Sakho going one-on-one with Ospina, and Ospina pulled out a couple of really good saves too. Yeah, sort of a quiet game, not much to talk about. But the 81st minute, there was a throw-in. I think it was Callum Chambers who passed the ball into Giroud. Giroud with the fake. Ramsey again grabbing onto the ball. Giroud was cognizant of Ramsey being behind him. And then Giroud passing the ball back into Ramsey. And then Ramsey, obviously, with a sliding finish pass, Adrian. Again, very classic Aaron Ramsey goal. Something that he's scored so many times in the last season. But it came off again.
I mean, it was a great goal again. But I think we're doing a disservice to not talk about Koscielny, because in the first, I think for the first 20, 25 minutes of the second half, Koscielny really stood out in terms of his performance. He snubbed the attacks. I don't know how many attacks he kind of snubbed. Sakho, twice or thrice he took the ball out of Sakho's legs. So I thought Koscielny had a really good game after a while, because he has been a bit patchy of late. But then, yeah, again, that move was a typical Ramsey kind of a move, wherein he drove on and finished the goal, which reminded us of the last year, which was very, very similar to his last year form. And hopefully that continues for the rest of the season.
Yeah, rest of the season, I mean, we still have 10 more really important games to play. Well, more than 10, but given that we still have the FA Cup final and the semi-final to look forward to. But again, very clinical. Towards the end, one of my favorite moments of the game, when Arsene Wenger brought on Matthew Flamini towards the end, almost a right midfielder. And he scored the goal with his first touch. Santi Cazorla had been on the pitch for maybe a minute or two. And then, obviously, he brought that energy with Welbeck as well. So, Welbeck, Santi Cazorla, both combined. Again, Olivier Giroud with his magnificent flick onto Santi Cazorla. And Santi Cazorla passing the ball into Matthew Flamini for a very easy tap-in. It's always fun to watch Matthew Flamini score a goal, because just the way he celebrates the goal, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think he was equally surprised to see him score a goal. So, that's why the reaction. But again, Santi was brilliant after he came on, and Santi, that pass from Santi and the 1-2 with Giroud was again superb. I personally just love watching Santi play. He's just so good on the ball.
Well, overall, it was a very promising week for Arsenal. Man City drop points at Burnley. I don't know what's going on with Man City. Is it a formation thing? Is it something internal with the team? They're playing a 4-4-2 formation, which clearly does not suit Sergio Aguero. But hey, I'm not complaining. I would much rather... Chelsea are obviously unstoppable. Despite their draw with Southampton today, I'm pretty sure they're still going to comfortably win the league. But I was hoping Man City was closest to catch them. Now I think it's pretty much Chelsea's title to lose, with Arsenal and Man City battling for second spot. Well, Man U won the game too, after playing a pretty good first half.
Yeah, I mean, Tottenham, made them look far better than they were. But I don't know. I mean, the formation which they played today seemed to work the best of all the formations so far I have seen Man U play. And this should be kind of, if I were to see those players and say which formation would you play, then this would be the default formation with Mata playing there. But I don't know, Van Gaal is, either why doesn't Van Gaal like Rooney as a striker or Mata as a number 10? It's anybody's guess, but that's how it is.
You spoke about Wayne Rooney and scoring a goal. I think most of the headlines would be grabbed by Wayne Rooney's goal celebration and what happened yesterday in the newspapers. So I personally am not a huge fan of the Sun. I think whatever happens between four walls, especially inside someone's home, a newspaper paying for a video like that, I'm not sure who even leaked the video. It's probably very easy to get to the source, but Sun paid for that video, and it making the headlines again shows how exposed a life of a footballer is. I feel bad for Rooney, but at the same time, I liked his celebration. I thought it was humorous. It was one of those tongue-in-cheek celebrations where he said, this is the world we live in today, and I really don't give a shit.
What was actually about it was that before it happened, there's one guy, one Arsenal guy who I follow, he actually said that what are the odds on Rooney celebrating a choreographed knockout celebration after he inevitably scores today, and 10 minutes later the same thing happened. I was pretty impressed with that. That's very well done.
I mean, he sees the lighter side of things. Obviously, he's a professional footballer. He's been playing for a very long time, and he's played through a lot of controversies as well. So this one was probably a minor controversy for him to deal with.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was a big deal, really. But having said that, you do wonder, why would you take such a big risk as a professional footballer? But yeah, because I thought it was pretty stupid, if anything else. The way he fell in that video, he could easily have hit his head on the table, and I don't know, it could be anything. So it's a bit strange.
It's just, you know, a few friends, 20-year-old friends, goofing around in the apartment on a day off. Yeah, I see the point. They probably should be a little more responsible given how much they get paid. So.
Yeah, I mean, I see. It's up to them, but I'm just saying, to a casual observer, it would feel odd. It's obviously their life, and they choose; they can do that. But I just think it is stupid.
But overall, Chelsea drew to Southampton, dropping points. Man City lost to Burnley. Arsenal won against West Ham. Obviously, that's the biggest highlight of the game, and a team I've been supporting for the last two seasons. The San Jose Earthquakes, also a local team. That's the reason I support them. The San Jose Earthquakes also beat Seattle Sounders, a team that's been captained by Clint Dempsey. Yeah, so overall, it was a pretty good week.
And I thought the Chelsea Southampton game were actually quite good. It was one of the better games, I thought, this year. Both the teams.
I didn't see the game.
I thought it was quite a good game. It was, I think both the teams really went for it, and it wasn't like a dirty, snidey kind of a game. So it was a good game.
I'm yet to listen to Jose Mourinho's post-match comments, but those have become such a delight.
He made a remark on that. Somebody asked him about Arsenal's momentum, and he said, "Momentum? What momentum? 3-1 Monaco or 3-0 West Ham? Which momentum are you talking about?"
It's annoying. It was annoying, but I think I started filtering the annoyance out of his comments. Completely. I just take it as a joke, like a 12-year-old bully.
Not even that. It's actually, if he's doing that, then he's actually worried, because he only attacks when he's in a corner. If he were not worried, he would just have said, "Yeah, they have a challenge. They can win it," and or something like that, which nobody would have believed anyway. So if he's actually coming out fighting, then he is at least under pressure, if nothing else.
So, like we said before, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably no one's going to catch Chelsea to win the Premier League title. But if someone were to, do you think Arsenal's in a better position than Man City to challenge for the top spot?
Well, I mean, both of them are equal.
Given the fixtures,
I would say so.
Fair enough.
So I don't see, because I think City and us, we more or less have similar sort of fixtures, not significantly different. I think they play United and Spurs and Southampton, while we have
Chelsea
and Liverpool.
So
in terms of fixtures, it's similar. They are 1 point ahead of us.
Fair enough. Well, with that, we have a game on Tuesday to look forward to, or really not look forward to. I'm being very pessimistic about that game, only because I don't want to go in with any expectations and I want to be surprised, if at all. Any final predictions?
Well, I'm quite looking forward to the game, because, like you said, there's nothing to lose, really. Anything we get out of it is going to be a plus. And we never know. We have beaten Milan in Milan. We have beaten Madrid in Madrid. So why not Monaco in Monaco?
Well, on that note, good luck to the Gunners. We will see you again right after maybe the next game versus Newcastle. Talk to you guys soon.
Bye.